as I could you tell us what you felt as you know, as a mammalian human, as you began discovering first the first typology of humans, and then the multiple appendages, and then getting into the more exotic, like the scorpion human, the half scorpion human.
The primary emotion was one of excitement. I was startled by what I found. I wasn't frightened by it. I realized it in all likelihood it represented life on another planet, and hence I knew immediately that it represented a significant discovery. I think one of the things that characterizes my response is that I became so engrossed in what I was finding and so excited by it that it produced almost a natural adrenaline, and I found myself sleeping 3-4 hours a night as I began to just pore over the images. In this case, the image is so well resolved, and it would be so difficult to first create this type of image by either modeling it physically or painting it, and then dropping it into that area of the hill there on the turquoise field where you can see the shadow underneath the creature and so forth. You can see a smaller creature in front of him. That I was just intensely fascinated, and I realized that if this was a valid image that the space agency had provided on its website, then I was on the threshold of a major discovery. I was thinking that, in a sense, I must have felt as excited as Charles Darwin did when he studied the animals on the Galapagos Island and saw the natural selection that had occurred among them, except that my Galapagos Islands were on the Internet and my animals were on the surface of Mars. So it was a very exciting moment. I knew that it probably represented the breakthrough, and I was just utterly fascinated at looking for the first time at another biological life form on another planet.
Right, and here we have, as you stated, that Mars, during certain periods of the year, is the closest planet to Earth, and yet look at the differences in life forms. It seems as though some event occurred, some intervening event that would have that. There's such a disparity amongst the different type of human beings, of humanoid beings, that perhaps we're getting too far ahead of ourselves. But each of these findings raises so many unanswered questions that I can see that this is a veritable treasure load, or it is another world.
Right. I described it in my press release as a cosmic treasure trove of evidence of biological life forms and animal species and carved statues and built structures on Mars. I'm a lawyer. I'm not an evolutionary biologist, and so I won't offer an informed opinion regarding the patterns of speciation that exist on Mars. But one thing that I think even somebody who can offer a lay opinion can see is that what's fascinating about the scorpion man is that it suggests that the evolution of life on Mars, which is our neighboring planet every 2 years, our next closest planet to Earth, was both similar to and has diverged from patterns of the evolution of life forms on our planet. I mean, here we have an anthropomorphic being, a being that seems to possess the cranium and the upper body of a modern human being with the lower body of an arachnid, of a scorpion.
You know, I'm going to have to jump in there at that point and just say this has been extraordinary. We are definitely going to have to ask you back because we've just scratched the surface of this find, and we certainly want to thank you for being here. We've been with lawyer and environmental scholar and now discoverer Andrew DiBasciago on the discovery of life on Mars. To learn more, please go to exopolitics.com, or you can go to this week's issue of Physics News. You can Google that online. This is Vancouver Co-op Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM, www.coopradio.org. This is the Monday Brown Bagger. I'm Alfred Weber. May you have a wonderful and miracle-filled day. Thank you.